Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John is on the other side of the glass. And John, along with Mr. Buckmaster, wish you very well on this Buckmaster show on February 22nd, 2022. It's a Tuesday. It is also Washington's birthday. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. It was 3 years ago today. John, I don't know if you remember, there was a big snowstorm. By Tucson standards, it snowed for 6 hours and during the day. So the February 22nd, Washington's birthday snow of 3 years ago. We're in our 12th year here on the radio on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Call letters KVOI The Voice. We have our website, buckmastershow.com, which has a very extensive archive of pretty much every show we've done since January of 2011. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the mayor, the Honorable Ed Honey, mayor of Marana. Ed is the longest serving elected official in Pima County. Mayor Honey, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill. Hope you are doing the same.
Thank you very much. The city of Tucson abandoned, this is the first time we've chatted with you, Mayor, since the city abandoned its threat to leave the regional transportation organization known as the RTA. How serious did you take the threat, and do you trust that this is not going to rear its ugly head again, Mayor?
Well, I took it very seriously. I'm a member of the RTA as well, as Marana's representative. But, we were able, I think, to dodge a bullet, at least temporarily. We kind of came in the middle on some of the things they wanted and some of the things that some of the others wanted. And I think right now we're kind of waiting to see what happens with Prop 401 in the city. And I think the city of Tucson is as well.
You know, you've been very outspoken. You've written op-eds about this. But when the city says, Mayor Honey, they just aren't getting their fair share of the RTA in the 15 years of its existence, five more left to go, you have pointed out that this is plain wrong. Elaborate for us.
Well, the city of Tucson is about, 54% of the population of Pima County. And they got about 67% of the money from the RTA in the first 15 years. And if you add transit to that as well, they got about 70%. So if you have 54% of the population and you got 70% of the money, the only person that got cheated was the other municipalities.
And the RTA has been very good to the city of Marana, hasn't it?
It has been excellent. I'm a big fan of the RTA. I'm the only one that was involved when it started. And, one of the things that Mr. Huckleberry and I think Mr. Walkup at the time were talking about was weighted voting. Three for the city, two for the county. And I, along with leaders of other communities, said, then we don't want to participate. And you know what? They came back and said, we do want you to participate and be a partner. And so we're going to have one entity, one vote. Well, that has been really fair to everybody. The county has benefited. The city has benefited. Obviously, Marana has benefited. And that system has worked really well. So I don't know what the problem is.
The next RTA, what's being referred to as RTA Next, do you see that as a half-cent sales tax? Or some have even said a penny sales tax. Is the half-cent more realistic, Mayor Honey?
I think it's much easier to pass with a half-cent, and I'll tell you why. I mean, the city currently has a half-cent. Oral Valley has a half-cent, and so does Marana. Marana passed a half-cent about 6 months ago, and it took effect in January. We're going to build a new community center and aquatic center for the citizens of the town of Marana. We did our due diligence, talked to all the HOAs, went to all the communities, and pretty much got 100% buy-in. Oral Valley has done a half cent to maintain their parks, and the city currently has a half cent, which about half goes to roads, and the other half of that half cent goes to police and fire. So it's not unusual. Trying to push RTA to a full cent starts pushing us up toward that 10% number. And I don't think any of us want to get there.
It has to be regional. This isn't a, you know, look at the people that live in Marana and Oro Valley. Many of them live in Tucson. This has got to be a regional program, Mayor Honey, doesn't it?
Well, that's why it's the RTA, Regional Transportation Authority. And like I said, the city has not been cheated. They have got more than their share of the money. And I think it makes others insignificant. They originally had asked to have 54% of the vote. So then everybody else would be contributing tax money and everything, but the city would mandate everything. And I immediately said no, and of course everybody else was not too happy about that either. So I don't really know. I hope we do an RTA next. I'm a big fan of the RTA. I think it benefits the community. And when Marana builds an Ina Road interchange, over half the people that use that interchange live in unincorporated Pima County in the city of Tucson. So even though it's built in Marana, it benefits people from Tucson and the county as well.
And your growth in Marana continues to be how? I mean, you're doing very well with the growth.
Our growth is just crazy. We had 200 housing starts last month, 198. I just rounded up. Biggest month we've had since 2006. And we're getting new businesses. We have new Amazon opening up. PVB manufacturing is opening up. Just got an announcement that TMC is building a facility at our mall at Twin Peaks and I-10. American Furnishings, I'm not getting the name right. There's a new manufacturer of furniture coming in. They're going to do a 400,000 square foot building and employ several hundred people. So we're growing like crazy. Right now, Bill, we're at 57,000, 58,000. If you use the formula for new housing, about 2.7 per house, we're over 57 and knocking on 58.
You know, there is that feeling in the city of Tucson that the center of the universe revolves around the city, that Tucsonans could make it fine without Marana and Oro Valley, and that kind of rhetoric doesn't help anybody, does it, Mayor Honey?
Well, and it really doesn't, and we all need each other. You know, a lot of our people work in the city. A lot of their people that work in the city live in our communities, but Oro Valley, Marana, Sarita, Vail, we're all starting to build industry as well. Roush just built another, you know, used to be Ventana Medical, just built another 60,000 square foot facility here in North Marana. That makes the second one, and it's going to push their employees up over 200. And a lot of those are six-figure jobs. You know, we need to work together. Marana streets and roads don't end when they get to the city of Tucson's, and Tucson's don't end when they get to us. And I think the partnership works really well, and I'm really unhappy with what the city is doing because it seems like they're trying to break up the partnership.
All right. On that note, Mayor Honey, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks. Mayor Ed Honey, the longest-serving elected official in the city of Tucson. I want to talk a little bit about our great sponsor, Mona's Danish Bakery. Boy, they really outdid themselves. Ann and I were up there for lunch on Sunday. I just had a hankering for a tuna melt. And they put together one for me that was just outstanding. A tuna melt with melted provolone cheese. I'll tell you, that held me. I wouldn't have even needed dinner. That thing had its own zip code up at Mona's Danish Bakery. It was absolutely delicious. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch. Maybe you would like some kind of a special hot sandwich. They will do it for you. Open for breakfast at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We love Mona's. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, and they've got everything, pretty much everything on the menu with beautiful pictures. Then there's always that secret menu. Go in there and ask Mona to prepare that Buckmaster special, the tuna melt. She'll do a beautiful job for you. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. And Shelley could not give me two thumbs down any more emphatically than what is going on the market. It's not a good day, but we'll see what happens. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
Oh, I'm just having a wonderful day.
Oh, I know you are. Thanks, Mr. Vladimir Putin,
yeah, really,
for ruining everybody's day. And I'll tell you, 2 years ago, we were dealing with the start of the COVID, you know, the two-year anniversary of when things really went south is a week or so away. And now we're dealing with this very, very serious situation in the Ukraine.
Well, and the stock market, which I seriously thought had taken into account the likelihood, because we've known for several weeks now, that this was going to happen, or we've been told for several weeks, I guess the market refused to believe it, or at least refused to take it as seriously as they've been taking it the last couple of days. So, you know, we're I think technically, if we're not in correction territory, we're you know, just a scotch away from correction territory right now. What does that mean? We've had corrections before. We always do. This one's a little unique, Bill, because it's not being prompted by what would normally be economic, you know, headwinds or the kinds of things that throw us into people getting very cautious about investments. This is war, or the potential for war, and we don't deal with that very often. The last time we dealt with this kind of well, I can't remember the last time we dealt with this kind of threat, and the market's taking it very, very seriously.
Oil prices surging because Russia is a major energy supply producer.
You know, their whole economy is one big gas station. And it's really, you know, here's this country with, I think, 9 time zones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm talking off the top of my head. I shouldn't. I think 140, 150 million people. And an economy the size of Italy. You know, there is no excuse for that. With the brilliance of their scientific community, with the fact that they have one of the most fertile and interesting geographies you can imagine, that country, when the wall fell, when the USSR collapsed, should have joined the community of nations in Europe and been, you know, just reap the benefits of the kind of partnerships that were made available to it. And instead, they stayed and became more and more isolated under this guy Putin. And now they're isolated.
Who wants to rebuild the old Soviet Union?
Well, or you know, the hegemony that Russia used to have over its neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he made that perfectly clear in a speech yesterday. He basically said Ukraine is a made-up country. It you know, shouldn't exist.
And that's this thing about peacekeeping troops being sent into the two eastern Ukrainian, what they call breakaway republics, yeah, like Crimea.
Right. So I had hoped by the time this segment mm-hmm. started, mm-hmm. we would have had some formal word from our president on what sanctions were going to go into place instantly and what would be held off, because some, I think, probably need to be held back just so we have more ammunition should we need it. But he has postponed that speech, and, you know, it could be any minute. It could be not till later this afternoon.
I think it's finally underway. The one very prominent commentator on CNBC said that to Putin, these sanctions are the equivalent of a bee sting.
Well, you know, a bee sting can be very, very dangerous and mm-hmm. hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding of the kinds of sanctions that can be put on Russia would cripple the country, not instantly, but it would cripple the economy. If you shut down their banking system, you shut down all of their imports and exports from the industrialized West, and you know, turn off their ability to trade and do the kinds of business internationally that they rely upon to feed what industry they do have, they won't collapse instantly. But if you do that and keep that up for several months, that economy will feel more than a bee sting, it will shut down.
What about China and the waiting in the wings
you know,
to help
it's interesting.
Them out?
Yeah. You know, there was some statements of support early on, statements of support between China and Russia, but the Chinese yesterday talked about respecting the borders of independent countries and did not come up behind Russia on this. So it's hard to know where they're coming out on this. They might believe that it's in their benefit to simply stand on the sidelines and, you know, reap the benefits of Russia shutting down.
Here's one for you. We've got this correction underway. Who knows where the bottom is? Then we've got the Fed with the anticipated rate hike. The Fed may just say, look, this is not the time to do any rate hikes right now.
Bill, that's a great point. We were expecting, because the economy has been so overheated and inflation has been a factor, we were expecting that the Fed would raise rates in March and would also further curtail its money printing operation, you know, all of the bond buying that they had been doing. They were going to begin the process of reducing their balance sheet. You make a very good point. If it becomes clear that the economies of the world are going to slow down because of what's going on in Central Europe, then the Fed might say, well, maybe not the time to put the brakes on. The markets will react very positively to that.
Yes. So in the meantime, for the individual investor, this is one of those times like 2 years ago when the market just went so far south with COVID. This was a time where you just have to sit.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Your reaction to what's going on in the market right now and how to adjust your portfolio for what is going on really becomes a function of how liquid you had, you were, whether you kept some cash on the side, whether your investments are such that you can perhaps harvest some losses right now in exchange for some gain, so that what you're thinking right now is how can I make this tax advantageous for me? There are clearly some stocks that have been, you know, just wildly profitable over the past several years. And if you've got some losses as well, now could be the time to take some profits and offset them with losses. So this is a very complex thing to do. I don't suggest that anybody try to time the market right now. However, if you're an active trader, if you are into picking winners and losers, work with your advisor and, you know, you might be able to mitigate some losses and maybe even come out of this ahead. What I will say is in modern history, there's no time when we haven't recovered from a correction.
Yeah,
and very often that recovery is pretty quick. Now, we didn't come out of the Great Recession as quickly as we would have liked, but we've come out of every other correction very, very quickly. In fact, the last one, which was caused by what, you know, seemed like the world caving in 2 years ago, we were out of that in a month, month and a half.
This is a little different, though, this because is. We don't really, we're in sort of uncharted territory here.
Well, and because...
I mean, you could go back. I mean, if Russia does do a full invasion and there's street fighting in the capital of Kiev, you're going to have scenes that are reminiscent of Berlin in 1945.
Yes, and the sanctions that we and the rest of the Western world put on the Russian Federation will not come without pain for us. Now,
gas prices,
we can mitigate a lot of that. But Europe, for instance, is dependent to a very great extent on Russia for natural gas. And they're having, you know, a crisis in natural gas availability right now. So heating costs in Europe have gone up astronomically. You know, if heating costs, if fuel costs here in the United States went up as much as they have in Western Europe, there would be people in the streets. But the Europeans, for lots of reasons, don't panic as quickly as we do when mm-hmm. it comes to instability in their neighborhood. I mean, they've lived with it for several centuries. So we'll see. But whatever Biden announces today, Britain announced some sanctions against a couple of Russian banks. The Germans have stopped the process of
authorizing the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. So what we're going to see is going to cause the economies in the West to slow down a bit, and then we'll do the adjustments we need to do. Hopefully this will be short-lived, but I must tell you, this doesn't feel to me like Putin is going to back down without really feeling some pain first, and that might take a couple of months.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much for your comments. We'll look for your comments a week from today. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Be well.
Take a break right here.
Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Anytime we have these three-day weekends, yes, it feels like a Monday. But it was nice to be off on yesterday on President's Day. But, of course, today is the real anniversary of George Washington's birthday. And we'll talk later with historian Ken Scoville about that. We'll talk with Pima County Supervisor Chairwoman Sharon Bronson. But first, I want to talk about Green Things, my favorite go-to place for Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And they have plenty of green things, just about everything you can imagine for your garden on their 13-acre site. And this is a great time to be thinking about spring planting. We've got probably, I don't know, maybe a couple of days of near freezing temperatures this week. And then usually that ought to do it, I would think. I mean, it's not unheard of to have around St. Patrick's Day some really cold weather, but it would be a good time to be thinking about your fall, your spring planting. Zocalo Village is also on their site at Green Things on East River Road. Zocalo Village has all that beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Much of it is handcrafted, like those beautiful dining room sets. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village, their website, zocalovillage.com, and Green Things, AZ.com. Green Things open daily in their 51st year, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Let's welcome now the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Here's Sharon Bronson. Supervisor Bronson, how are you today?
I am doing well. Waiting for snow, I guess, tomorrow, right?
Well, yeah, we might get some snow flurries. And as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, it was 3 years ago, we had a rather unusual snow event. Well, any snow event, I guess, is unusual for our area. But this was, as you recall, Sharon, a daylight event, went on about 6 hours. And I think you had a few inches out at your place.
Oh, yeah, we did. And hoping for a few tomorrow. I love, you know, snow time. It just chills us all. And I think kind of given the political environment, chilling is what we need to do.
Yeah, I tell you, this is the political environment right now is pretty darn bleak. One bright spot, and we had a nice conversation with Ed Honey, Mayor Honey of Marana, talking about the RTA and trying to get everybody on the same page. And at least for the time being, the city seems to be back on board. Mayor Honey believes, Sharon Bronson, a half-cent sales tax certainly would be easier to sell than a 1 cent for the next RTA plan. But he thinks a half-cent would be doable. What do you think?
I agree with him. We're always connecting with each other, and I am hopeful that we will have the votes on the RTA and PAG board to move forward with it. And as Mayor Honey said, we really need City of Tucson to be a partner with us. We are hoping they will be, and I'm sure we all will do what we can to make that happen. But it's always a stretch, you know, as he said, you know, when he's, you know, they got about the City of Tucson in the last RTA, however you want to count it, got between 67% and 70% of the dollars. So they got their more than their fair share, given the population. So again, we just need to move forward. We all need to be on the same page and stop the rhetoric and get down to the reality so that we make the region better for all of us.
One thing that would make the region better for all of us is Old Tucson. A lot of people love it. They take visitors out there. It's been a tourist attraction for decades. On the Pima County Board of Supervisors agenda, as you're well aware, will be the matter of Old Tucson and a new operator. I know you can't tell us who the new operator is, confidentiality agreement, but it would be helpful, Sharon Bronson, to tell us what Pima County's role with Old Tucson is.
Well, we are the owners, and, you know, there was a very rigorous year-plus process to find a new operator for the Old Tucson property. You know, the key was to be respectful not only to Old Tucson Studios, but for the entire Tucson Mountain Park area. And thanks to, you know, my thanks to the operators who ran that facility for, what was it, 50-plus years. There are those who wish it would stay a movie studio, but if that were financially viable, the previous operators would have made it work. I think the new operation, at least I believe, will be an amazing addition to Pima County and an attraction that will be enjoyed by not only our local residents, but visitors around the world.
So the county owns the land for the park west of Tucson, and then leases it to Old Tucson, the old, whoever this new operator would be, for the attraction. And then I guess the lease is for, we don't know how, perhaps, I guess you can't disclose how long the lease will be with the new operator?
Correct.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's going to be a wonderful addition, as I already said, to Pima County's attraction and tourism. And we, you know, the big reveal will be soon. What can I say?
All right. In the remaining minute or so, Pima County joining 11 other counties, just about all the counties, and using these new vote centers. Is this something that will make things a little easier for Pima County voters to vote in the primary in August and the general in November?
You know, you're only giving me a minute. I'm not sure. We are reducing the voting sites from, we had 260 plus precincts to 100 precincts. I'm not sure we've done our homework on that, and we haven't reached out to the mayors in the cities. And I don't think we've done our homework. I am concerned, and I'm also concerned that as we move forward, we don't have, given who we have the contract with, I'm not sure we have chain of custody that makes sense. So I'm concerned. I just don't know if we can make this happen in 5 months without even having talked to any of the mayors.
So you've got some real concerns then about whether or not we will be moving forward with these vote centers.
Well, the vote was to move forward, but again, I just worry that this is not the way to do it. We haven't reached out. We haven't done our homework. So I will be reevaluating my vote.
Ooh, okay. And is that coming up when? When does that come back before the board?
We're waiting for some information from the county recorder, so I'm not sure when, but again, my concern has become more elevated when I learned that none of the mayors were contacted or knew about this.
All right. Sounds like could be a change, at least with you, on these vote centers. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much for joining us. Hope you have a good rest of the day, Sharon.
Thank you.
All right, Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, who The vote was taken, but now it will have to come back before the board about the supervisors moving forward with these vote centers. And it sounds like Sharon Bronson is having very much second thoughts about that. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Want to talk about my great sponsor over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, the southwest corner of New Mexico. Not only can you do some beautiful outdoor things like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, a beautiful area, and always the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and Silver City itself has some beautifully restored Victorian architecture. It's a fun community and a lot to do over there. There's a full listing of things to do and great places to stay. Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Let's welcome now one of our great contributors to the program. We've got over two dozen regular contributors. Ken Scoville is our historian for the Buckmaster Show. And Ken, it's always a pleasure to have you on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. How are you, Ken?
Oh, I'm fine, Bill. I'm fine. I've just been thinking about it's quite the assignment to try and put together George Washington in the few minutes we have together.
Well, you know, when I was growing up back in the dark ages, Washington's birthday and growing up in Illinois, Lincoln's birthday was a big deal, too. In Chicagoland, Lincoln's birthday was celebrated as a separate holiday, February the 12th. And then we had school was out again for us on the 22nd. And the local bakery actually made these cookies in the shape of a like an axe. And it was all about George Washington cutting down the cherry tree. Do you remember anything about that vaguely?
Well, I think, you know, it's just like one of many myths. I've never seen any actual proof or that he threw a silver dollar over the Potomac. Or...
So maybe he didn't chop down a cherry tree. I don't know where that comes from. I guess I should have looked it up. But of course, the historians approach all of these issues and about the father of our country in a different way, don't they?
Oh, yes. And just think about that. George Washington was a man truly in the 18th century because being born in 1732 and dies in 1799. So this is like 300 years change and things that go on. And like all complications, we don't have any photographs of him. The cameras weren't invented yet. We've got paintings and sculptures of his face and his body, from, thankfully, from a lot of different eras, so we can see him more as a young man and all of that. But then most historians get into what we call ephemera, what's the letters and then documents and all the things that he's involved with. And he was just a voracious letter writer. I don't know how many hundreds of letters there are. And he had his own archive at Mount Vernon. And so he had a sense of his destiny and importance in making this the nation that we have today.
Didn't they want to make, wasn't there some talk about making him like the not a king, but like a permanent president? Didn't that come up?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, all kinds of things. Realizing that, and King George, and we're jumping around a little bit today, but King George, after Washington won the revolution and essentially won the revolution by evading the British soldiers until Britain had other issues and they said, let the colonies go. But that was like 8 years that he had to pick his battles and then hide and all these kinds of things. But the King George said, if Washington steps down from power, he's the greatest man in the world. And that's been pretty verified. But realizing we want to talk about George Washington, maybe most remembered and why he became president is because he was not in love with power. And then we're going to talk about his home in Mount Vernon in a second. He wanted to be a farmer. It was a land of gentry and all those other things, but he really loved farming. But he saw that the only way you're going to establish a representative democracy, a republic, is a peaceful transfer of power. And so when he won the revolution and stepped down and said, I'm a farmer again.
Early on, my parents took us on a trip to Washington, and we visited Mount Vernon, Washington's home. And as I recall, you know, you mentioned he was a farmer. He had a bunch of greenhouses. And as I recall, he was even trying, and maybe he did successfully, grew pineapples in northern Virginia.
Yes, he loved pineapples, and they were trying all kinds of different things. Because if you traveled a little bit, and he didn't travel a lot, but if you had other fruits, and especially, you can imagine in the winter, having fruits and vegetables and things. So, but yeah, and he had wheat harvesting and all of that going on. So, and like there's a reason the National Park Service has tried the best they can preserve every president's home, because you really get the insight and the personalities of what kind of person this was and why he led the country, whether it's Washington or FDR or whomever, that you really understand by their home.
Well, and then there was the whole issue surrounding slavery at Mount Vernon.
Well, and slavery is just extremely complicated. Realizing again, and one thing that historians try and advocate for people on all different topics, you can't necessarily always go by what the standards are today. When George Washington was born, by the time he was 11, he'd already gotten slaves from some other inheritances and things. So it was slavery, you know, we talk about the 1619 Project, but slavery had already been part of the colonies for a century. So, and in farming and an agrarian lifestyle, land of gentry, you all had slaves. And when he got married to Martha Washington, she even had more slaves. So towards the end of his life, I think they had over 300 slaves at Mount Vernon.
One thing that's often not talked about is Washington was a real hero of the war, the colonies fighting France in the French and what is referred to as the French and Indian War. I think that in one battle he had there were bullet holes in his tunic and all sorts of things.
Yes, his horse got shot out from under him.
Yeah, narrowly escaped death.
Right. And one of his, the payment that he received for fighting in the French, and what we say French and Indian Wars, is that he got to got some land, and then he also got acquired more acreage as a surveyor. So he had quite a lot of multiple experiences, but that foundation was always the farm.
What book would you recommend for more about George Washington?
Well, and wanted to mention very quickly for everybody today, and I'll encourage all the listeners, a couple of things. Use Google Earth and go to Mount Vernon and see how you leave Tucson and fly and land right into Mount Vernon. And then go to the website. It has a wonderful resources on everything from slavery to types of crops. He had his personal slave was a gentleman by the name of Billy Lee that went through the whole Revolutionary War with him, swearing in as becoming president, all the two terms in president and all of that. So tremendous resources there. George Washington, towards the end of his life, he spent 5 years working on his farewell address. And that's what I would encourage all your listeners today, is just look at a little bit at the farewell address. Even back then, and one of the arguments why he could not go with slavery as much as he might have wanted to, and during his lifetime, he changed his whole viewpoint on slavery until at his death, he would release his slaves, and then when Martha died, all the rest of the slaves would be released. But Washington's Farewell by John Avlon is wonderful. It has enough biography to understand the background, but looks at Washington's farewell address and how he was so concerned about losing the South. So he was desperately afraid that we were going to eventually, he didn't say civil war, but we were going to have this. And then partisan politics, that was his greatest fear. And obviously his first two terms were just laced with the forming of political parties, which he did not want to see. And then also the whole idea of partisanship above country.
All right, Ken, and before we go, and this is not to do with Washington, but it's rodeo week and almost 100 years for the Tucson Rodeo.
Oh, yes, and realizing when we talked about getting President's Day off, I don't think the schools get the federal holiday anymore, but they get Rodeo Day off.
Yeah, interesting.
So it just shows you the regional nature, but... Oh, yeah, the rodeo, and again, I'm one of those people that hopes someday it's going to return to downtown. I'm probably as a pipe dream a little bit. But the rodeo, and more than anything else, really shaped tourism and into Tucson. The rodeo brought so many people here and really helped fuel the whole tourist winter visitor thing.
All right, Ken Scoville, always a pleasure. Talk to you next time. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of historian Ken Scoville, John on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster with you saying have a great afternoon.